Let's now change the focus. Boy, I'm excited about this. I've been waiting to do this. Going to have a conversation with Ken Timmerman. He has written a book, St. Peter's Bones. I have finished this book. It is exciting. I hope I don't ask any question, Ken, because we want to do a preview on your book, which will be, I think, released publicly on Monday. But I don't want to give away anything. I don't want people to buy it. So you're going to have to kind of guide me through the questioning if I ask something that would give something up you don't think should be given up at this point. You just stop me and I'll go another route. But before we get to the book, and I want to spend some time on talking about the book, quickly an update. The situation in the Middle East, persecution of Christians, it's not going away. It's still very prevalent there, isn't it?
Well, that's right, Jimmy, and thank you for having me on today. This coming week on Thursday, there will be hearings chaired by Frank Wolf in the House of Representatives on the persecution of Christians in Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, Egypt. There have been a wave of killings recently in all of these countries. The Iranians have been rounding up pastors and evangelical Christians, people who have a Muslim background who have come to Jesus. In Egypt, there have been murders of Christians by former policemen. There have been bombings of churches. In Iraq, which is what I write about in St. Peter's Bones, the jihadi Muslims are going around to the homes of Christians now and murdering them in their households. So, yes, this is intensifying. It's not going away.
We started our conversation, Ken. You updated us on the persecution that's spreading throughout the entire Middle East of the Christian community, evangelical Christians, the Catholics. And I understand there's a debate going on among some that there are what we refer to as big C Christians and little C Christians. The little C Christian in the Middle East, and I've lived there long enough to know, would be that individual who's not a Muslim or not a Jew. Thus, they would be branded as a Christian. But the big C Christian, true Bible-believing, born-again Christians, and they are coming under persecution. Both of those would be coming under persecution in the Middle East, would they not?
Oh, absolutely, Jimmy. And I've got to tell you, the Muslim jihadists who are murdering Christians and blowing up churches really don't care very much about the distinctions you've just made, little C and big C Christians. They care about any follower of Jesus, whether they are cultural Christians or born-again Christians. They really don't make that distinction.
And I think that is key. Let me put an exclamation point after Ken's statement. That is key. It happened in the Holocaust. Everybody said, they're only killing the Jews until they started knocking on the Catholic Church doors. And then, they're only killing the Catholics and the Jews. And then they started killing those of the evangelical persuasion. We have to be aware of the fact. And that's what you're doing, Ken, is it not, with this book? St. Peter's Bones is a novel. It's a fictional novel, but it is focusing on the persecuted church in Iraq and some of the surrounding nations as well.
That's absolutely correct. And the reason I wrote St. Peter's Bones as a novel, Jimmy, is that I wanted to let readers get beyond the news stories. You know, we read about this in the news. Fox News has been doing some reporting on this. I'll be on Fox and Friends on Monday morning early at 6:45 Eastern time to talk about this. But, you know, it's one thing to look at the news. It's another thing to feel this in your gut. So St. Peter's Bones is narrated by a young Iraqi Christian interpreter working for U.S. Special Forces in Iraq. It's a war novel. It's a love story, and it's a story, and it's a religious thriller, if you wish, about the origins of Islam and about the Christian church in Iraq. I want people to feel this in their gut and to understand the characters from the inside out.
Excuse me for interrupting, but it is a thriller. You'll grab it and you'll start to try to put it down. You'll have to pick it back up again. And he's laid out simply a resume of the entire book, which is really exciting. You set it in the setting of modern day, and I would imagine your 30 years of covering the news in the Middle East, your time when you were in prison there in Lebanon itself, this all played into helping you describe some of the situations in this book, did it not?
Well, absolutely. And what I think the reason that readers can feel and taste and smell what's going on in Iraq, they can smell the cordite, they can feel the suffering of the characters, is that I've been there on the ground and I've felt and smelled and suffered these things as well. It just helps you when you're describing a reality to have gone through a lot of the things that are actually described. It's not an autobiographical novel, but it is a novel about things that I have seen and felt and experienced on the ground in Iraq as a journalist and was not really able to write as a journalist. So that's why it's a fiction.
Well, you know, I have not written quite as many books as you have, but I have written some books, and I know I bring my own experiences into my writing. That's just an absolute. You can't set that apart from what you're writing about. And there was one exciting, adventurous, thrilling experience taking place when there was a taxi drive, a ride in Amman, Jordan. Now, some of these persecuted Iraqi Christians have made their way over into Jordan, and basically the central figure in your book was there in Jordan trying to make connection so he could get refuge in Jordan. He had an unbelievable taxi ride. Has that come from experience as well?
Well, you know, the funniest thing, Jimmy, is that the parts of the novel that are probably hardest to believe are the ones that actually happened. So the taxi ride in Jordan where the narrator is picked up by a wild-eyed, probably drugged-up jihadi who understands that he's a Christian and starts to drive him all over the city, eventually hooking up with an accomplice. They plan to kidnap the narrator and to murder him or to sell him for ransom. That actually happened to me in Amman, Jordan. What didn't happen to me is the final scene in the book, which I'm not going to tell you too much about, but there's a military attack by over 200 jihadis on a monastery in northern Iraq. And yet that, I think, readers find seems perfectly plausible and much more plausible than this taxi ride in Amman, Jordan.
What about that monastery there? It's in what they refer to as the Assyrian plain, or am I correct on that?
You bet. It's near Al-Kush, which is right up near the border with Turkey. It's the last line of mountains, if you wish, between Iraq and Jordan, where the prophet, prophets, the final prophets who came across there. You can still find their tombs up there. These monasteries still exist. They have ancient manuscripts in their crypts. They are worried about protecting those manuscripts, and that was one of the things that gave me the impetus for writing St. Peter's Bones, for the plot, if you wish, was the treasures that are actually stored today in real life in some of these monasteries in northern Iraq and are being threatened.
Now, that would be the biblical city of Nineveh, Mosul, today. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. And the province in Iraq is still called Nineveh Province, right out of the Bible.
This is what makes this so exciting. There's biblical portions that just are going to blow your mind when you realize those are the sites. You think about Jonah. He was commanded to go out there to Nineveh. He did go in. The whole city repented and got their hearts right with God, but then later on in Nahum, there's another prophecy, and it's destroyed about 150 years later. But that with Babylon, and Babylon is center focus in this because you're in Iraq, and on the shores of the Euphrates River is the biblical city of Babylon.
That's right, and there are still relics from the prophet Nahum in the northern part of Iraq near the monastery in Al-Kush, which I describe in St. Peter's Bones.
Well, it is an exciting adventure. It's a bit focused by the title, St. Peter's Bones, on the fact that possibly the bones of Peter, the apostle to Jesus Christ, may have been transferred from the Vatican back in somewhat the Dark Ages into that area. But at the same time, the controversy is, some would suggest, and I probably would fall down on this side of the argument, that 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 is talking about Peter actually being in Babylon and building a church, along with Mark building a church in Babylon, which at his time was the second largest Jewish community in the world, second only to Jerusalem. So that controversy runs through and out to the book as well.
That's absolutely right. Now, I'm not the biblical scholar. You are, Jimmy. But people have mentioned to me, and I think it's a very good argument, if Peter had meant to say that he was in some other place, if he was in Rome, he would have said Rome. He said, I'm writing you from Babylon.
Right.
I assume that he was in Babylon. So the fact that Peter says that he is in Babylon when he's writing gave me also the impetus to make that connection between St. Peter and what is modern-day Iraq.
This is a must-read. It's entitled St. Peter's Bones by Ken Timmerman. You can go to Amazon.com and get a copy of it. It's going to be in the bookstores. They're releasing it on Monday, as I understand.
That's right, Jimmy, and it's going to be released on Monday, and I've got a lot of information, background information on the book at kentimmerman.com. There's also a historical note to give you some of the sources that I used in writing the book. Interestingly, there are a lot of original Muslim texts that I used because one of the main subplot of the book is the beginnings of Islam and this notion that's been around the Middle East for generations that, in fact, it was a Nestorian Christian monk who dictated parts of the Quran to Muhammad.
Wow. And I learned from my reading of the book about the Islamic faith as well. Again, a must-read. So many different facets of the book. St. Peter's Bones. You can go to kentimmerman.com and order it there. Go to amazon.com. It'll be in the bookstores as well. Ken, thank you for writing the book. Thank you for being a part of our broadcast partners and helping us to understand these events unfolding. We're going to continue to have conversations with you, my friend. Good luck on the sale of the book.
Well, thank you so much, Jimmy. And I tell you, your show is just a wonder, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much.